Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now we started talking about what a Christian should hope for. Alright? Come, let's go to our foundation scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as a Christian, there's things that you must hope for. Hope means you expect. Hope means you desire. Hope means you long for. And I told you that that word substance means the ultimate reality. In other words, there is more than one reality in this life. There's the reality that you are currently experiencing. Sometimes our reality is that we are uneducated. Sometimes our reality is that we are sick. Sometimes our reality is that we have no money. Sometimes our reality is that different realities. Everyone is experiencing one or the other reality. A situation that you are currently experiencing is your reality. But the Bible says there is another reality. I call it God's reality. So there is your experience that you are feeling now, but there is another experience that you could be experiencing. Are you listening to me, somebody? Faith is to be able to see that other reality that God has for you and to begin to hope for it and begin to desire and long for the other reality that God has for you. I listen to me. Amen. I showed you a story in the book of Kings of Elijah and his servant, where a certain king would plan against Israel to ambush Israel. And every time he planned for Israel, God would tell Elisha that this king is planning against the armies of Israel. Then Elisha would go to the king of Israel and say to him, don't go to that place. If you go there, the enemy will get you. Every time they planned against Israel, rather Israel would ambush the ambush. So one day, the king became angry and he said, who amongst you is a spy? Someone here is a spy. Someone is going to tell Israel our plans. And somebody said, nobody is a spy, but there is a prophet in Israel. Anything that you say, even if you say it in your bedroom, God tells him and then he tells the kings of Israel. Then that king said, he sent his army to go against that prophet. They found out where Elisha lived and they surrounded his town. There were so many soldiers that they surrounded his town. When you become a praying man, when you become a praying woman, you become very dangerous. When the servant of Elisha came out and he saw all the soldiers, he said, hey, we are dead. We are finished. We are dead. But Elisha said, don't worry. Elisha said, there are more who are for us than those who are against us. So Elisha was not seeing his current situation. Elisha was seeing the reality of God. Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, please open his eyes. Suddenly this young man saw thousands upon thousands of angels all around, and there were more than the soldiers. Amen. Can you see there's more than one reality?
Amen.
So faith is when you are able to see the reality of God and begin to hope for the reality of God.
Amen.
Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to see. I need you to see. I need you to see. See a better future.
Amen.
See it.
Amen.
When your children are sick, my child is dying. Why? Why can't you see that God can heal my child?
Amen.
One man of God, his wife was pregnant. And as he was at church preaching, his wife started having pains. She rushed to the doctor, and to cut the long story short, the doctor said, the child is dead. You have miscarried the child. When the man of God finished and he was coming back home, he found the wife sitting there. And the wife was so sad and said, I lost the child. The man of God said, it's impossible. And he sat down and said, bring my food, let me eat. He was finished. He said, it is impossible. So the woman went back to the doctor and said, my husband says it's impossible. When they checked again, the child came back to life. Somebody says it's impossible. It's impossible. I call it the fire of faith. When something in your heart says, no, man, no, 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 I don't accept it. No, 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 no. Someone say, no, no,
no.
You go for a job interview, they say, sorry. You go to another one, they say, sorry. You go to another one, say, sorry. There's something in you must say, no, I don't accept it. I serve a living God. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't accept it. I can't. I can't. Children of God don't have that fire anymore. Whatever the devil advertises, you eat. The devil says, you can't marry. You say, thank you, Satan. I didn't know what to do, but now I know I can't marry. Satan says, you, other people can go to school, but you can't go to school. You say, thank you, Satan. I've been waiting for a word from you. As a child of God, you must learn to say, no, I don't accept it. I don't accept it. But you can only have that fire when you can see the plans that God has for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you. That's your God speaking. He says, I've got plans for you. Plans to prosper you. So God, you want me to prosper. You want me to succeed. You want me to have success. You want me to marry. You want me to have perfect health. You want me to have a business. You want me to work. You've got good plans for me. And to give you an expected end. What does that mean? It means that before you were born, God had already knew your life from the beginning to the end. So when God is leading you, by the time you come to the end, it must be the end that you must have lived the life that He planned for you before you were born.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Somebody said, it's not about how you start, but it's about how you finish.
Amen.
You may have begun in a poor home. That doesn't matter. It's about how you finish. When you started, you were not educated. It doesn't matter. It's about how you finish.
Yes.
Someone say, it's about how I finish.
It's about how I finish.
So many people are so discouraged about their beginning that they can't see the end. Pastor, Pastor, my family doesn't have money. Pastor, nobody is educated in my family. Pastor, everyone is sick in my family. Everybody dies at the age of 40. Pastor, you just see the beginning. Why don't you open your eyes to see that the end can be greater than the beginning? When Jesus was born, he was born in a manger. Manger. Do you know what's a manger? Where animals live there. Go right. Polish again. And do I say it right? That's where Jesus was born. When Jesus was busy being born, the sheep was going, the cow was going, look at his start. You were born in a hospital. If you ask your mother, mommy, where was I born? She will say, in such and such hospital. Already, you are better than Jesus. Your starting is already higher than Jesus. Jesus was born to the poorest of poor families. They had no home. They were exiles. Because when Jesus was born, there was a king called Herod, and he wanted to kill Jesus. So they had to move to Egypt. In Egypt, they speak Arabic there. They don't speak Hebrew. They didn't know the language. They didn't have a home waiting for them in Egypt. They had to survive. Are you listening to me? Amen. They were poor. Pastor, how do you know that they were poor? The Bible says that according to the law, when a child is born on the eighth day, you are supposed to bring the child before the Lord and you're supposed to make a sacrifice for the child. The Bible says if the family is poor, they must make a sacrifice of doves, of birds, pigeons. So Jesus' family sacrificed pigeons to show that they were in poverty. But Jesus didn't allow that to control his life. He didn't allow his start to control his destiny. He rose when one day they were going to worship the Lord, and when he got there, there were doctors busy discussing the word of God. Jesus didn't say, hey, some of us are poor. We don't go next to doctors. He went to them and he was listening to them as they were discussing the word of God. And he started asking them questions. And the Bible says the doctors were amazed at his understanding because he was still 12 years old. He didn't look down at himself and he said, no. I come from a poor family. My father is a nothing. My father is uneducated. My mother is uneducated. He didn't let those thoughts destroy his future. Amen. And he rose. By today, he died more than 2,000 years ago. We are still talking about him. We are still talking about his life. Start to open your eyes and see that God can do it. Now last week I told you that I started talking about how faith works. And I told you that faith speaks. Do you remember? It speaks. Let me tell you something. What you say with your mouth is what happens to you. What you say with your mouth is what happens to you. Haven't you noticed? Job said, the thing that I feared has happened to me. So, if you keep speaking your fears will come to pass. If you say, I don't think that I will live to 50, you will not live to 50. Whatever you speak is what happens. Whatever you speak is what happens. Whatever you speak is what happens. When my wife finished school, she always said that, now I'm going to work for Eskom. I'm going to work for Eskom. I'm waiting for Eskom to call me. I'm going to work for Eskom. And she would just say, out of the blue, she would just tell me, I'm going to work for Eskom. Before we knew it, she was working for Eskom. What you say comes to pass. What you say comes to pass. Today, for a very short time, I want to tell you that Faith X, A-C-T-S, Faith X. Faith does what? It acts. Come with me to the book of James, chapter 2. Verse 17. James, chapter 2, verse 17. The book of James, chapter 2, and the 17th verse. Are we there? The Bible says, in fact, let's start at a higher verse there. Let's start from verse 14. The Bible says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have no works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it doesn't have works, the Bible says it is dead. If it doesn't have works, it is dead. Let's jump to verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Is dead. Faith without works is dead. Listen to this man of God. It's the second time he's writing this in the same book. I always say that if someone has to say something more than once, it means I'm not listening. Let's jump to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Three times in one chapter, faith without works is dead. 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 How can I explain what James is saying? There was a gentleman who always used to say, me, I'm going to win lotto. I'm going to win it. I'm going to win lotto. But do you know that the same man, he never played the lotto. He never went to buy the ticket. He never put the numbers. He never submitted the ticket. But he always said he's going to win lotto. How are you going to win it if you don't put your numbers? I listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
You can't win lotto if you don't play it. True or not true?
Amen.
You don't think your numbers to the tickets. One day I was driving with my mechanic back in those days. And they said to me, you won't believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, I dreamt the numbers a lot. Six of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he said, and they came out exactly one by one as I dreamt them. And I said, what up? Did you win? He said, ish, I didn't play them. Faith without actions is dead. Now, you can see God's reality. You can speak faith. But if you don't put it into practice, it will not work. You need to put it into practice. I'll tell you of the latest testimony that happened in our family. One day I was listening to a man of God preaching, and he said, and what he said, he'd been saying it every time I listened to him preaching. I always hear him saying this. And he said one day he went to fast for 3 days and three nights. And he went to ask God and he said, "Lord, how can I guarantee that I prosper financially?" How many would like to prosper financially? So he said to God, "I want the secret to prosper financially." And he went to fast for 3 days and three nights. In the last day, God said to him, "My son, prosperity doesn't come by prayer. Prosperity doesn't come by fasting. Prosperity comes by giving." Can I hear an amen? People don't like the word giving. It's okay. God said to him, "Prosperity comes by giving." When I heard it, the first thing that came to my mind is that I've heard him say this before. And this pastor is the richest pastor in the world. If you Google the richest pastor in the world, he's going to pop out there. So after I heard this, I waited for my wife to come back from work. And I said, "Sister, prosperity doesn't come by prayer." I copy and paste. I repeated to her, "Prosperity doesn't come by prayer. Prosperity doesn't come by fasting. Prosperity comes by giving." And when you read the Bible, it's true. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men put in your bosom." Give, and it shall be given. Give, and it shall be given. Blessed is the hand that gives than the hand that receives. Blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I said, "But it's true. That's what the word of God says." So I said to her, "Let's start giving." So we made a decision. We are going to contribute to the church building. We sacrificed some money and we gave. Then we took a decision that every month we are going to package money and help any family, any family. We just made that decision. When we budget, it's in our budget. There's tithe. Tithe, we don't even talk about it. It belongs to God. It's not mine, it's not yours. We tithe. Then we budget to give. So we started it. Now, for you to understand what God did for us, in 2019, my wife and I, we would write her CV. We did her CV. We applied to more than 100 companies. She was not even called for interview to say, "At least let's come and see your face. How do you look like?" Even for interview, nothing. But after we started giving, in about three months, suddenly phone call. "Hello? Can I speak to Mukhetwa Mbandra?" And because of where she works, she can't answer her phone at work. So when the people call, she put my number. So I said, "Oh, you are speaking to her husband." Then she said, "Oh, please tell her that we want her for an interview." So I'll call her when I get the chance. And I said, "Sister, you have been called for an interview." And she said, "Who is it?" Then I'll tell her the company. And she said, "I don't think I applied for that company." Out of the blue, later, another phone call. Hello, can I please speak to Tom Banjo? Companies that we never called, that we never submitted CVs. Then about a month or two ago, her boss got COVID-19. And the company where she works, if the boss is sick, nothing is happening. We close the company down. Not knowing to us that the boss was going to die because of COVID-19. And him dying means the company is finished. And it means no more income for our family. But that same week that the man got COVID-19, hello, can I please speak to Moketo Mbandra? We are calling her for an interview. She went for an interview and the people said, look, we like you, we like you. And to cut the long story short, they took her. After about 3 months of giving, while we were still happy and said, look at what the Lord has done. Hello? Can I please speak to Tom Banja? Hey! Somebody say, it is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
My wife said to me, no, I don't want this. I like this job that I have now. I said to her, just go and listen to what they have to say. I finally convinced her to go. The way I convinced her, I said, when this company says, we are giving you an offer, go and take that offer and give it to your current company and say, look, this is what they want to give me. Can you beat it? If you can't beat it, I'm going. So she said, okay, I like the plan. She went. In about 3 months, she had 2 job offers. She was now confused. Which job do I take? Wouldn't you like such a confusion? And which one do I take? But where did this thing start? When you act. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. So when we caught that word in our spirits, we decided to give. Faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead. Many of us are struggling financially. And no matter how much you can cry to God, God can't do anything for you because the way He releases financial blessings is by giving. Many of us, we have seen how many pastors are eating churches' monies. And because of different pastors and their behaviors, you have stopped giving. God, no matter how much the pastors are wrong, God cannot bless you until you become a giver. It starts by giving. He responds to your giving. It's not about how, the Bible doesn't say, give, and if you are educated, it shall be given unto you. It's not there. Give, you are provoking God to give to you. Faith comes by actions. Faith works by actions. What I mean to say. Am I talking to somebody? In my life, when I started reading the Bible, I came across a scripture. And the scripture says, those who believe, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will what? They'll be healed, they will recover. Hello, are you here?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you can't sleep in this church. If you sleep, I'll embarrass you, okay? Keep your eyes open. I'm watching you very carefully. Amen.
Amen.
So I read, and the Bible says, those who believe, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. The sick will what?
Recover.
I read it, I said, what? Me? If I lay my hands on a sick person, the sick person will be healed. All right, hurry up. Everyone is looking at you. Please, hurry up. Ingi? They are not with us. They should be there. Now, what was I saying? If you, I said, God, me, if I lay my hands on a sick person, the person can be healed. Amen. So, I said, this thing must be true. So I started, any chance I get, if I find a sick person, I lay my hands on them. Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
So one day I was in church, and one guy said, "Lord, I've got a headache." I said, "Yes." And I said, "Brother, come here. The Bible says, if you believe and I lay my hands on you, you will be healed." So I laid my hands on him. It was my first time ever praying for somebody. And I put my hand on his head and I prayed for him. And I said, "Brother, by the time you get home, you will realize that you are healed." And the brother said to me, "The headache is gone." And I said, "Wait, listen. By the time you wake up, you will realize the headache." Then the guy said, "You don't understand. The headache is gone." You should have seen how happy I was for a headache. A headache that is gone. Headache is gone. I said, this thing works. This thing works. This thing works. By faith. So when you read your Bible, believe in what you see there. And try it. Try it. It's only when you try it, you will see that it works. Tell anyone, say, try. Just try. You realize it works. You as a parent, last week, Saturday, when we woke up, my little daughter was hot. Very hot. And we could see that she's not her bubbly self. My daughter, she's normally everywhere. When we came to church, when we came for prayer, she was just crying. She wants to sleep. She even went to sleep in the car. And I told my wife, I said, something is wrong with her. That night, something in me just said, no, man. I don't want her to be sick. I said to her, come here. And I laid my hands on her. And I said, Father, I rebuke whatever the cause of this fever is. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. When I woke up in the morning, my mother said, she's still very hot. Now when you hear that, the first thing you realize, it didn't work. I don't care what the situation looks like. I pray she's healed. The Bible says, they shall lay their hands on the sick and the sick have recovered. I don't, even if she becomes worse, she's healed. By the time we came back from church, no fever. Fever gone. We didn't give her any medicine, nothing. So that same night, now she's healed. So that same night, I'm busy looking at my phone. I was watching Benny Hinn on the phone. So she realized that I'm watching, you know, spiritual things. Then she said, Daddy, can I please pray for you? I said, yes, you can pray for me. Then she laid her hands on me and she said, Father, thank you for the food in Jesus' name. Amen. And I said, amen, I received the prayer. She was real complicated. So you have to practice your faith. You must. You realize that the word of God is true. When I read the Bible in the book of Mark, Jesus said, those who believe, they will speak in a new tongue.
Amen.
It means speaking in tongues.
Amen.
When I read it, I remember I started having the desire to speak in tongues. In those days, I couldn't speak in tongues. When I went to church, I will see people pray. And I will watch them and say, oh, how I desire. Some of you, when we are praying in tongues, you don't desire, you're just watching. They are busy yawning. But when I saw them speaking in tongues, I say, I want to be able to pray like these people pray. Because back then, when they call for all night prayer, I will say, what? All night praying? What am I going to say the whole night? And I realized that those who could speak in tongues, they didn't have those problems. The whole night, a patola, le pandereka, a katoninada, a patola, a rakapala, rakapala, they will be praying. And I would desire. And I remember one day, my pastor said, on this particular day, we are going to start praying from 9 in the morning, and we are going to pray all the way to the night and into the next morning. I said, what? From 9 in the morning to night, we are praying. All the way through the night, we are praying. And I couldn't speak in tongues. But I just decided to go. Many Christians will not go when they hear such an announcement. So I decided to go. And because I didn't know how to speak in tongues, I had to plan my prayer. I still remember the prayer topic was the will of God. So I said, okay, for the first hour, I'm going to say, Lord, let your will be done. So I just walked around. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will. For 1 hour, I just repeat those words. Lord, let your will. When I'm finished, I said, okay, now I'm going to say, Lord, thy will be done. Then I said, Lord, thy will be done. Hey, I had to plan because I ran out of things to say. Then one day I said to God, Lord, I see your word talks about in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that they were gathered together and suddenly there was a loud noise and the Spirit came upon them. And the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I said, Lord, if this thing can happen to me, nobody will ever tell me that the Bible is not true. I can see it's happening to other people, but if it can happen to me, if it can happen to me. And I remember one day, I started speaking in tongues. Man, I was even afraid to sleep because I thought that if I sleep, they will go away. I couldn't believe me speaking in tongues. I was so afraid they will go away. When they say, Kola, how much can you sing? I'll just be, as I'm going to the shop, when I get to the guy there, in my heart, I'm like, when I finished, I spent days in my room because I was afraid they would go away. But my tongues came when I believed. And I acted on them. And suddenly I started speaking in tongues. Since then till today, I speak in tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to start believing. Some of you are believing God for a job, but you don't even have a CV. How are you going to get the job? You don't even have a CV. But you are saying, I'm believing for a job. Very soon, God is going to smack you on the face. Some of you are saying, I'm believing God for a car. You don't even have a driver's license. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Act upon your faith. Act upon your faith. Act upon it. When your child is sick, pray for your child. Don't start crying. Some people cry. cry so much, and they even go to sangomas. They even go to all sorts of prophets, useless prophets. That even as you go, you can see that this is not a prophet, but you go and you kneel down. I've seen people losing their jobs because they go to foolish prophets. Foolish. One particular guy, a very brilliant guy, he went to a prophet because he was saying things are not working in his life. And the prophet said, "Konok loya I am serving Zimbabwe." Now, if a fly will come and stand on the wall next to his desk, he say, "Ah, what for me? You know, the guy lost his job. He lost his job because of a fly. Learn to pray. Learn to believe. Learn to act on what you believe in. Learn. When you are sick, you can pray for yourself. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes when you rebuke it, the pain will say you are rebuking who? And it will become double. Don't care that it become double or triple. Walk in faith and say, "I'm healed." And walk. See, just you walk, you feel. But just walk. I'm healed. Before you know it, you realize that the pain is gone. It will respond to your faith. It will respond. One day, a brother came to me and said, "Brother, I've got a toothache. It's troubling me." And I said, "Come, let me pray for you." And I prayed, and the toothache left. He couldn't believe that it's gone. He couldn't believe. Learn to act on it. Learn to believe in your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. If only you knew how powerful your prayers are. Learn to believe. One particular pastor, he said that one day he went and prayed and he said he wanted a big church. And so he believed God. And in his church there were 5 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He said, even though there were 5 people, because of what he believed, every time he came to church, his eyes saw 300 people. But that's every Sunday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And out of the 5, most of them are his family members. And he said, one day, as they were having church, somebody came to church who was not part of their family. The family members became so happy that somebody came to church. They even forgot he was preaching. And they stood up and said, "Oh, welcome to church. During the preaching, welcome to church. Wow." And he said he used to preach like he had 300 people. He would shout as though there's 300 people in the church. His mother-in-law used to say, "No, don't shout so much. We are only 5 here." And he said, "No, I don't see 5. I see 300. I'm preaching to 300. Can I tell you what happened? This man currently today has about 800,000 members in his church. Not 800. 800,000 people in his church. Faith acts. And listen to me. It acts. If I were you, after this message, I'll go look for my CV. And start taking it from company to company. In faith. Believing that God can give you a job. Some of us here, we've been working in a job for 20 years, same position, same, Since you came to the job, you were a junior something. Till today, your hair has become white like mine. You are still junior. If I were you, tomorrow morning, I'd go to my boss and say, "Sir, Mr., Mrs., whoever, can I please speak to you?" And say, "I've been working for you for 20 years. I need a promotion." Hey, Pastor, what can go over? Faith X. Hey, listen to me.
Amen.
If I were you, and your children are troublesome, they give you headache, they give you sleepless nights. If I were you, from today, I'll begin to confess that I've got doctors in this house. I gave birth to doctors. I gave birth to pastors.
Amen.
Even if they become worse. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
There was this woman that I know. She got married, and both her and her husband were not born again. I listened to me.
Amen.
So somebody preached to this woman, and she received Jesus into her heart. And she started going to church. When she started going to church, she started reading her Bible, and she became a very strong Christian. But her husband was now drinking, doing all sorts of funny things. The Bible says that if you are married and you are a believer, don't divorce your spouse. Perhaps your spouse can be saved because of you. And listen to me. So, this woman now, she's a believer. She started saying, "My husband is a pastor." Keep the faith. She didn't say my husband is born again. She said is a pastor.
Amen.
So when she was ironing her shirt, she would say, "I decree in the name of Jesus, my husband is a pastor." When she was cooking for her, "My husband is a pastor. My husband is a pastor." When the guy was sleeping, "My husband is a pastor." Can I tell you what happened? Today the man is a pastor. There are things that happen like this, but there are other things that it's a process. The fact that it's a process doesn't mean it will not happen. A child, look at this small child. This child is not born and then in 5 days is an adult. It takes time. There are things that God does immediately, and sometimes there are things that God takes time. The fact that it takes time doesn't mean he has not heard your prayer. You keep believing.
Amen.
You keep acting.
Amen.
You keep confessing the word of God. And it shall come to pass.
Amen.
It shall come to pass. I see married people in this church.
Amen.
Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
I see when we say hallelujah, I see bling bling. All I see is bling bling on your heads.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe what I'm saying. I see people walking out of their houses that belong to them with their husband and their wife and their children, Adidas, smaller and smaller, and they are walking into their car in the name of Jesus. It's going to happen. I see people who are MDs here, managing directors. I see CEO. Some of you, as I'm talking, you are looking at me and saying, but those who believe, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
It shall come to pass.
Amen.
And your marriages will be sweet.
Amen.
Sweet.
Amen.
People will be jealous because of you.
Amen.
Your children will be the best children.
Amen.
Can I hear a proper amen in this church? Some of you are going to be pastors, prophets, evangelists. I see it in the name of Jesus. I'll never be a pastor. You'll be the first one in this church. You'll be our first pastor. The one who says, I'll never be a pastor.
Amen.
God will change your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Bazalane, I want to encourage you. Don't just speak faith, but act it. Now, Abraham, one of the reasons why the Bible says he's the father of faith. One day God said to him, you know, after about 99 years of wisdom, without him having a child, when he finally got a child, imagine how precious that child is to you. Your only child, you are 99, your wife is 90. And God says one day to him, I want you to kill your child for me. There are times where you hear the voice of God and you know that you know that you know it's God. Sometimes when you hear the voice of God, you wish you can say, Satan, get thee behind me. That time is God. Abraham knew that he knew that it was God. So he took his son. He didn't tell his wife. I'm sure if he told his wife, he was not never going to do it. So he told Isaac, come. Isaac said, Daddy, where are we going? He said, we are going to sacrifice to God to worship him. So they started going. When they got to the place where he was going to be sacrificed, Isaac said, Daddy, I see the firewood. I see the matches. I see the knife. But where is the sacrifice? Because Isaac was starting to notice something is off here. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the sacrifice. And he got there. I can just imagine. Imagine tying your son. Laying him down on firewood. Imagine. It's not that this child was a foolish child. It was his one and only. And he took a knife. Imagine the cries of the small boy. And he was about to kill. Then he heard the voice of God, and God said, Abraham, Abraham, don't kill the son. Then God said, now I know that you will obey me. God said, I swear by myself. See, when God swears to you, say, I swear by myself that in blessing, I will bless you. But when you read the book of Hebrews, Paul explains what was happening. Paul said, Abraham had so much faith in God that he knew that even if I kill my child, God will bring him back to life.
Amen.
That was the faith that was in Abraham. He so believed in God. He believed in him.
Amen.
One day, Abraham's cousin or niece, is it a niece, the boy, is it a niece? His niece was captured by armies. Five kings came and fought against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they captured Lot, and they took him. So when Abraham heard that they've captured my niece, he had about 300 men in his house, and he said, let's go. He went and fought against five armies with 300 men. And he got Lot and brought him back. What would the same person go and fight against five armies? But because of the fire of faith that was burning in him, he knew that my God will not allow me to die.
Amen.
He knew. The faith in his heart was like fire. The faith in his heart was like fire.
Amen.
It was like fire, and nothing could quench it.
Amen.
He had stubborn faith. That's the faith I want you to have.
Amen.
Don't accept that your children have become vagabonds, aimless in life, not going anywhere. Don't accept it.
Amen.
Let the fire in your heart begin to fight. Amen. Cry unto your God and say, God, my children will become fine. My children will marry. My children will have their own houses.
Amen.
You've been sick for years. Allow that fire to come upon you and say, I refuse to be sick. I refuse it. But BP, from today, I don't have BP. From today, I don't have BP. Confess it and begin to walk like you don't have BP.
Amen.
No sugar diabetes can exist in your body.
Amen.
There was a man of God called John G. Lake. And in those days, here in South Africa, there was a pandemic like coronavirus. And he started preaching. He said, there's no coronavirus that can survive the blood of Jesus. When he said that, people thought he was mad. And he said, there's no coronavirus, no disease that can survive the blood of Jesus. And one day the scientists took him and said, can you prove what you are saying? He told them, there's no disease that can survive the blood of Jesus. They took him to a hospital. They took his blood from his hand. They put it on a telescope. I don't know what they call them. Then they put the disease in his blood. And they watched. This is a true story. It happened. And then they watched what happened. And they saw his blood fighting the disease and killing it.
Amen.
And he said, I told you, no disease can survive the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Now that blood is in you.
Amen.
You don't have to be a pastor. That blood is living in you.
Amen.
You don't have to be sick. The only reason you are sick is because you've accepted that I'm sick. You've accepted that I have diabetes. You've accepted that I have BP. You have accepted that I have arthritis. Recently, my wife said to me, Pastor, when are you praying for the sick? I said, why are you asking me that question? She said, I feel like I'm getting arthritis. I said, listen to me. I just preached and said, faith speaks. I said to her, you don't have that thing. Nonsense!
Amen.
Let the fire burn in your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Rise to your feet and put your hands together for Jesus. I said, put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.